Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Dealing with weight gain as we get older, today on Advanced. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is July 28th, and it is the second day of our health article entitled Work with Your Biology, Not Against It. And again, today joining us to continue this discussion is Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Linda. It's great to be on the show again.
Yes, it's so great to have you back because you had a lot to contribute yesterday. It seems like you can say a lot about this topic, or you know a lot about this topic of getting older and dealing with the health issues or the things that we have to deal with as we get older.
Well, Linda, the honest truth is I'm in the age bracket. Actually, we're in the age bracket. So because we're in the age bracket, this is super relevant to us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably my second favorite topic now, after food. Food is still my favorite topic.
Okay.
But this is a close second.
Yeah. So looking back at what we talked about yesterday, what would you say are some of the takeaways or the things that we should remember from yesterday?
I think one thing we have to remember is we have to start younger. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that for our listeners who are listening, perhaps you are over this menopause age. Perhaps you are already in your 50s or 60s or even 70s. But we hope that the information that we're giving you, you can share it with people who are younger than you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you are a younger person listening to our program, especially if you're in your 20s or your 30s or even early 40s, we hope that you really take the information we're saying and start acting upon it. And take those. Yesterday we learned a very important word, counteracting.
Mm-hmm.
So when you counteract something, is something is going to happen and it's not good, so you're going to take measures to go against it. So we're hoping that information is power, and by listening to this program, you will take measures early. And
yeah.
If you're older, let your younger friends, your children, your grandchildren know about this. And if you're in the younger ages, get prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is power.
Yes, empower yourself. Be proactive in your health. Even if you're under 20, even if you're younger than 20s, it's never too early to start creating a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
Creating healthy habits, because it's so easy to start bad habits, to eat bad food, because that junk food is made to be addictive. You know, all of those ultra processed foods are made for you to crave, made for you to consume in volumes, because that's how they make money. And so it's never too early to start training yourself to have a healthy lifestyle, eating healthy, exercising, so it's something that you can carry out throughout your life. So it won't be so hard when you really need to do it. You already have that practice in place. So creating good habits, you can never start too early.
Yes.
And that's something my dad told me because, he's much older and, he's always been active his whole life, but even he was saying that, I wish I was more active. I wish I had created healthier habits, because it's so hard to do now, to do weight training in my elderly age, building up muscle, because we learned yesterday, we lose muscle as we get older, and it starts much earlier than we think. Even in our 30s, we start losing muscle. So it's there are a lot of things that we can counteract, we can do to counteract these changes taking place in our body.
I think a good metaphor is, it's kind of like, you know, we always hear that you should invest like your for money. When you have money, like in your 20s, once you start working, you should put some of it into investments. Mm-hmm. Like you should put a portion of it maybe in ETFs or mutual funds or stocks if you're smart. Like you should invest your money and you mm-hmm. start early so you can earn interest. Mm-hmm. And the same
and
thing for
to
your health.
To compound.
Yes, yeah. The same thing for your health. The sooner you start eating right, having a healthy lifestyle, being mobile, exercising a lot, this will almost like gain interest over time.
Yeah, the payoff will be.
The payoff is great, just like investing. Mm-hmm. So invest in your health and don't start late. The sooner, the earlier you start, just like money, mm-hmm. the earlier you start, the more you have in that bank.
Yes.
The more you have in your health bank to draw from.
Yeah, that's great advice, Rebecca. Thank you for that. And just like with our money, our investments, as you get older, you'll take less risk
yes.
because you have a lot more to lose. Just like when you get older, you have to take less risk in the activity that you do. Like you can't be as crazy as you
yes.
once were because recovery is going to be a lot longer and injury will be a lot more serious when you're older than when you're young. That's something I miss about being young, like falling and it not, you know, being a problem or getting a sprain and just being able to bounce back with no problem. And
I also think if you want to do thrills, like adventures, like bungee jumping, like mm-hmm. doing crazy things like jumping, you know, like bungee jumping.
Do it when you're young.
Do it when you're younger. Because sometimes your heart can't take it as you mm-hmm. get older. I actually noticed that when I was in my mid-30s, like one time I was in an amusement park in Hong Kong. And I love crazy rides. I've always gone on those crazy wild rides at amusement parks all my life. And for the first time in my life, I was on in an amusement park in Hong Kong. And when I was in one of the huge roller coasters and it went 360 degrees, like suddenly my heart felt like it was going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's aging.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time in my life that happened. It never happened before. I had taken much wilder rides.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mid-30s, I realized, maybe amusement park crazy rides should not be in my repertoire anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get that crazy stuff out of your system
yeah.
while you're young.
Do it now. Do it now.
Where there's a lot less risk for injury or for things that might happen if you do it when you're older. Well, that's good advice. Let's get into our first reading now.
Losing weight can be counterproductive. The body is genetically programmed to survive, so losing weight is perceived as negative and our bodies will try to fight it. Some people can sustain low-calorie diets for a period of time and lose weight, but eventually they may start feeling hungry, eating more and gaining weight. As soon as some people even think about losing weight or restricting their calories, their brain overrides those thoughts. No, you're actually hungry, so you're going to eat as much as you need to make sure that you do not lose weight, Dr. Hurtado says. There is a proportion of people in whom diet and exercise alone will work, but for the majority, they will not due to the complex regulation of energy balance. Many people who live with overweight or obesity will need a tool such as a medication, an endoscopic bariatric procedure, or bariatric surgery to help them achieve sustained weight loss, Dr. Hurtado says. In addition to nutritional and behavioral support, they also may benefit from physical therapy or occupational therapy to help them find ways to become physically active, she adds.
So weight gain is something that we have to deal with as we get older, along with muscle mass loss. And we learned the word and you reviewed it with us from yesterday, Rebecca, counteract. We have to do things to reduce the effect of aging or oppose it, right? Now we come across another word with counter as its prefix, and it's part of our subtitle here. Losing weight can be counterproductive. So what does this counter word mean?
So counter, again, the prefix means against. So against productive. So what against anti-productive or against productive means, it's not the result you want. So for example, you want a certain result, but you take an action. It's counterproductive. It goes against the result you want.
Yeah, it's actually having the opposite effect of what you want, right?
Yes.
It's working against you.
Yes.
So we don't want to do things that are counterproductive. We want to do things that counteract the effects of aging, but we don't want them to be counterproductive. We don't want them to work against us. And it's puzzling because losing weight can be counterproductive. Huh. Let's see how that works. So the body is genetically programmed to survive. Yes, we are all, that's a given, right? So losing weight is perceived as negative and our bodies will try to fight against it. So that's just our body working, doing its thing to survive. So yes. When you intentionally try to lose weight, your body will sense that as, oh no, I need to go into survival mode. I need to protect myself. And so actually that's why losing weight can be counterproductive, because your body is going to work against your efforts.
So that means that for the period that you're on a diet, you do lose weight. But the problem is as soon as you stop that diet, mm-hmm. you will gain it all back.
Because right.
your cells are saying, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And your cells, they're in kind of like starvation mode.
Yes.
Like they're starving. So, you know, a lot of times people ask me, how come in the West, like a lot of times you see like high school girls, college girls, they look really good. They're in really good shape. But a lot of women, once they had children or once they get into their late 40s, their 50s, they tend to be on the big side. Like they're bigger. Like they're not thin. They're not slender. And part of the problem in Western culture is this fad of dieting, especially mm-hmm. in high school. Mm-hmm. Like among my high school friends, a lot of them are on diets.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go on diets, what happens later in life is your cells, they're really scared of starvation.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared that you're going to withhold food from them. So once you start eating again, they get more greedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically they get so greedy that it's very hard to put off weight.
Right.
So you see these very thin girls in high school and college, once they hit their 40s or 50s, they become really big.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like we were talking off air, like sometimes they don't, like some of our friends, they don't even eat that much,
mm-hmm.
but they're just big.
And that can also be due to genes.
Yes.
They don't have to eat that much, but your body holds onto the weight. And
yes.
So genes is a big factor, but dieting can be very counterproductive because
yes.
When you're dieting, you're basically depriving your body of food. And so when it has the opportunity or when you're eating normally again, it's retaining that food because your
yeah.
body's wondering, oh, well, I
once
might be deprived.
Next time,
yeah,
next
of food
time, when
again.
When am I going to be deprived? Like the body doesn't know, because the body doesn't know what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why dieting, losing weight can work against you. So some people can sustain low-calorie diets for a period of time and lose weight, but eventually they may start feeling hungry, eating more, and gaining weight. And that is just what we explained, like that it's very counterproductive. So you end up that's why people, after they go on diets, they end up being more overweight than they were before they began the diet.
Yeah. So diets by themselves almost never work well in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
They can work for short term, but if you want to be long term healthy, you really need to have a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
And
so
the main thing is you got to move.
Yeah.
Just move.
Lifestyle.
Move. And then eat healthy.
Yeah. Controlling what you eat, staying away from those things that are high in fat and sugar and calories, especially ultra-processed food, maintaining that healthy standard. As soon as some people even think about losing weight or restricting their calories, their brain overrides these thoughts, thinking, no, you're actually hungry. So you're going to eat as much as you need to make sure that you do not lose weight. So yes, your body, your brain is going to be overriding your actions, right? Your thoughts of trying to lose weight. And when you override something, you are trying to overcome, right? Mm. Surpass whatever is there before. So to use your power authority to change someone else's decision. So here, your body or your brain is trying to override your thoughts of losing weight and make you eat more. So there is a proportion of people in whom diet and exercise will work. For a lot of people, just like maintaining a healthy diet and healthy exercise routine will work. But for a lot of people, and here she says, for the majority, they will not, due to the complex regulation of energy balance. Hmm. So that's a little disheartening because you think, oh, if I just have this healthy diet and exercise, it'll be fine.
Yes.
But for a lot of people, most people, it doesn't always work out that way.
Yes.
And it's just because of our bodies. Our bodies are very complex and we can't fully control on what it retains, how it metabolizes. Yeah, and that's like, for example, our metabolism, it gets slower as we get older. And that happens to even people with good genes that used to have really fast metabolisms, didn't have to worry about anything they ate, right? Because it didn't matter. They would just stay slim. But because the metabolism slows down, then weight gain becomes a problem later in life. So many people who live with overweight or obesity will need a tool such as what, Rebecca?
Medication.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about medication, I was just thinking some of the people around us are taking like Ozempic, mm-hmm. for example. And what is Ozempic? It's a drug that is similar to something that diabetics take.
Yeah, it's originally like for
diabetics. And basically, when you take Ozempic, you're telling, basically it works in telling your brain that you're not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So then your brain tells your stomach you're not hungry.
So you
don't have that mm-hmm. hunger pains.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is a very, very popular shots that you can take. I think it's still shots, right? It's in
mm-hmm.
shot form.
Mm-hmm.
The popular shots that you can take to lose weight. Now, that's room for another article in the near future because Ozempic has many benefits
mm-hmm.
for people who are severely obese, but there's definitely cons to this as well. There are psychological cons,
mm-hmm.
there are side effects, and you can lose muscle mass
mm-hmm.
as well when you take Ozempic. But medication here, we're talking about these medication, I think the category is called GLPs, including Ozempic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people so want something that will work magically, right? To be able to lose weight. But there is no magic pill. And we'll see this term a little later in the reading. But yeah, there's nothing magical. And people might think that Ozempic is, you know, this magic potion. They just have to take these shots. Well, then you might have to be taking these shots for the rest of your life. And also you have to worry about all the side effects that could come from that.
Yes, there are a lot of side effects. Like I've read that it can also cause like other than we said the low bone density, psychological changes, even libido changes.
Mm.
Like you might not want to have sex anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when you take these kind of drugs.
Yes, and as far as your organs, it can lead to pancreatic inflammation, kidney and gallbladder problems, vision problems. So there are always side effects to something. But if for people who are very obese or very overweight, then they might need to have this alternative, right? Because they aren't mm-hmm. able to lose weight just by diet and exercise. So another alternative is an endoscopic bariatric procedure.
Yeah.
And this word bariatric medicine refers to the science of medical weight loss management. So it is, when we're talking about a bariatric procedure or bariatric surgery, it is to help someone lose weight, to manage their weight. And usually it's for people who are dealing with obesity. So these tools help them achieve sustained weight loss. And in our article, in one of the graphics, we do have examples of bariatric mm-hmm. surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So one popular one is gastric bypass. So bariatric surgery now is less invasive than surgery because you can do it endoscopically, like putting a tube through someone's mouth and it leading to their stomach and doing the procedure, the surgery that way. So it's that way it's less invasive, or just making small incisions. It's not like before where you had to make a large incision on someone's abdomen and then do surgery there. So bariatric surgery is an alternative, but for extreme cases, and that will help them, the person to lose weight because they have smaller stomachs. It actually reduces the size of their stomach, so then they won't be able to eat as much. Right. And it is very effective, but then again, there are also things that go with that, downsides with that. But it is an option for those who can't lose weight in other ways. So in addition to nutritional and behavioral support, they also may benefit from physical therapy or occupational therapy to help them find ways to become physically active, she adds. So still, even if you do these procedures or take this medication, you still need to maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
And that includes what you eat and how you exercise, to do exercise often to be physically active. All right. So our next section is entitled Be Proactive. So let's hear that now.
Be proactive. Every visit with a doctor is an opportunity, especially in these times when overweight and obesity are so highly prevalent, she says. We want to prevent rather than treat something that may be more difficult to treat for several reasons. Lifestyle interventions are the core of all weight management interventions. While we need to understand that there is no magic pill, there are tools that can facilitate adhering to lifestyle changes. Dr. Hurtado emphasizes that obesity is a disease. Starting the conversation about weight management with that message may help people have a different perspective. Okay, so they are talking about something that is not my fault, but actually has a biological basis, Dr. Hurtado says. Realizing that weight problems are a disease and not a character flaw can help them think about it differently and could be very impactful on the outcomes of weight loss interventions.
Okay, so we hear more from our Dr. Hurtado, saying every visit with a doctor is an opportunity, especially in these times when overweight and obesity are so highly prevalent. So something that is prevalent is common, is occurring a lot. And that is something that's definitely true in the U.S., but probably in other countries now, because we're leading more sedentary lives and we're eating more processed foods. That's something that's global. It used to be like maybe isolated or more in developed countries, but it's much more common in the world now. So talking to your doctor, right, is good. And doctors want to prevent rather than treat, we all want to prevent rather than treat something that may be more difficult to treat for several reasons. So addressing something early, right? That's important. And then also trying to prevent rather than cure. That's something always heard. Prevention is better than cure.
Yes.
Because, you don't know, this treatment might not be that effective, or it might be difficult to continue. Also, the side effects, right? Like with Ozempic, who knows what else, long term.
Exactly.
The disadvantages or the negative side effects will be as you take this long term. So lifestyle interventions are the core of all weight management interventions. While we need to understand that there is no magic pill, there are tools that can facilitate adhering to lifestyle changes. And what does this word facilitate mean?
To facilitate just means to make it easier for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to facilitate, a facilitator is someone who makes the discussion process a bit easier.
Yeah.
Like we have that a lot of times when we have workshops, right? You have a facilitator, or kind of like a coach,
mm-hmm.
that kind of facilitates the discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So here again, we're saying that, there are many things you can do, but there is no easy way. There's no shortcut.
As much as we want it there to be, like we want there to be like a magic pill or a potion or just snapping our fingers, it takes work.
It takes work.
So Dr. Hurtado emphasizes that obesity is a disease. Starting the conversation about weight management with that message may help people have a different perspective. Yeah. So some people, it's a very emotional thing, right?
Yes.
It affects, like, being overweight affects their self-esteem very much. But if you go into dealing with this with a different perspective, that will help you to deal with it better. Okay, so they're talking about something that is not my fault, but actually has a biological basis. All right, so yeah, it can come down to just genes, how your body operates just makes you more prone to weight gain. So it's not personally your fault, but look at it as something that you can deal with, all right? It's within your control. Realizing that weight problems are a disease and not a character flaw can help people think about it differently and could be impactful on the outcomes of weight loss interventions. Do you agree with that statement, Rebecca?
I do. I think if we can separate our emotions from the science and we can look at it from the scientific viewpoint, mm-hmm. that it's really, for some people, it's biology, it's genetics. They're just born with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you just have to work harder.
Yeah.
Like you have to work harder. There's no magic pill. You got to work harder. And also, sometimes it might just mean you just have to end up feeling comfortable with the size you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like with what, like maybe for Linda could be a size 6. And then for me, with my biology, I can only be a size 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using Western sizes right now. But this is just an example. Like sometimes part of the process, it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have to, the title of our article today, Work of Your Biology, Not Against It.
Yes.
If we understand the science behind it, then I think it's much easier because we can separate our emotions and then we can take effective methods to work with our biology.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what the authors are saying. And Linda, I'm just really thankful we have Asian genes because I think obesity is also a problem here in Asia. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's not a problem,
mm-hmm.
but I think part of having Asian genes is not as prevalent a problem mm-hmm. as some other parts of the world, including where we used to live in North America.
That is true. Yes. It does help to have Asian genes, but all of us, including us, yeah, we need to maintain healthy lifestyles,
yes.
and that takes effort.
And no magic pill. I think that's something we really emphasize in day two,
mm-hmm.
is there's no shortcut.
Yeah.
There's no magic pill. Anything that promises you a magic pill is probably a scam. And we know that because, like, we see so many people getting scammed out of their money,
mm-hmm.
you know, by promises like Southeast Asia, you can make 100,000 US a year or something, mm-hmm. and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So we're so glad that you joined us for this conversation today. We will all keep working hard. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Rebecca.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye. Stay healthy.